Thank you, Sister Clark. I can hardly wait. What she was singing about is going to be a reality, a scene that the saved are going to witness one of these days. Amen? My, my, I'll be so glad to see that old devil get his due. Won't have to read the more prayer list after that. Oh, man. Amen. Thank you, Sister Clark. What a blessing. Open your Bible to the book of Proverbs this morning. Book of Proverbs. I'm going to give you a title, and then you'll see the text justifies it. You're not going to like the title too much. I want to preach to you a little bit this morning about God's hate list. Told you you wouldn't like it. It's okay. It's in the book. Proverbs chapter 6. You folks that like every now and then to look at a little prophecy, which I do, and a few things that are maybe a little bit deeper. It's kind of an interesting thing here in chapter 6. This is kind of on the side now. Chapter 6, talking about Sister Clark singing about the devil getting his final judgment. We know that 666 in the Bible has the ominous distinction of belonging to the Antichrist and the number of the beast, Revelation 13 and so forth. It's interesting how the Bible always fits together hand in glove, amen? It's a supernatural book, we know that. In Proverbs chapter 6, I want you to notice verse 16 introduces this thought. These six things doth the Lord hate. Starts with a six in verse 16. Yea, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, as it counts them off here now, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. If you notice here, it's kind of interesting that you got chapter 6 of Proverbs. You got six things that are listed that God says he hates. I'm sure he hates more than that, but these are comprehensive. And then it starts in verse 16. So if you kind of arrange the sixes a little bit, you got 666. You got it all fitting together. Somebody says, oh, that's coincidence. No, there's no coincidences in the Bible. God's got it all planned. All of it's right. Every word is there. Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Not every paragraph, not every book, not every chapter, but every word. Amen. You know, in the list here, the Lord seems to hate something a little special. I'm not saying he hates it anymore. Maybe so. But he mentions the word lying, or the fact of lying, two times. In verse 17, a lying tongue, he says here. And he kind of mentions this twice as you go right on down. In verse 19, says a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brothers. You'll actually find lying and pride kind of linked together in the first verse here that we read on linking these things, six things that God hates. Now, the hate of the lie goes all the way through the Bible. You'll find all the way through the Bible, time after time after time. For instance, in Exodus 20, you have the list of the Ten Commandments. And what is the ninth commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness. And so, yeah, it seems like God, among all the things, hates this thing of lying. Lying and pride, I already said, is tied together, no doubt about it. We say, well, why does he hate it? Well, just remember something. It was the lie in the garden that put us in the mess we're in. Go back. Satan's lie, right? When he come to Mother Eve in the garden and he talked to her and he somewhat deceived her, and he used not only the lie that he told, but the pride that she kind of fell into the trap because of. And you know what? Most men fall into traps today for the same reason. all of us do, that Eve fell into it in the Bible, in the garden in Eden. And it's all inclusive, as we've seen today, that what she was faced with right there in Eden, we're still faced with today. If you want to kind of hold your place here and flip over to the New Testament, go all the way over toward the back of the book and get to the book called 1 John. 1 John, you can pick it up and look at it in about chapter 2 and verse 16. And what we'll read in this verse is what occurred in the Garden of Eden, way back there. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, Eve had all of this within her there at the garden. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, she saw the fruit, it, she knew about it. Maybe it looked like it would taste good. And the lust of the eyes, it looked good. You know, most of us get in trouble with what we see first. And then, like her, we reach out and we take it. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Now, Satan come kind of challenging her. There's some stuff you can't do. God's being mean to you. He's withholding something from you. And in her pride, she was saying, "Oh, no, we can do this, that, and that." And she added to a little bit to the Word of God and got in trouble. I want to say to you that our pride gets us in trouble more than we would ever think. It's something that the devil uses, the weakness and the fallen and the depravity of the flesh, but oftentimes we'll find it's pride that leads us into something bigger and something worse. And a lie. A lie, we live in the day of deception. I know that. We live in the age where lies are bought and sold and manufactured, and nobody seems to have a conscience of what is truth and what is not, and nobody seems to care about it. And that's really, really sad. But this verse says all that's in the world, that just comprehensive, covers it every bit. And the same stuff that Eve had trouble with in the garden, you and I still having trouble with today. Now, I want to ask you a question. Today, it looks like that lies are increasing all the time. And I want to pose this question. Why do we like to believe a lie? Why do we like to believe a lie? I want to tell you one of the main reasons is because it fits our feelings. Say, what do you mean? I mean, we want it to be true. That's why we accept it as true, oftentimes without being critical and examine it, because we want it to be. Now, don't give me a look like you don't understand what I'm saying, because you're guilty as I am with it. I remember as a kid laying in a bed in the house right behind that old building down there, poor as I could be, but I'd lay there in the bed at night and I would dream about building myself a boat. Every piece of wood, every nail, and I'd have that thing built. Everything was fitting just together. And finally, I'd spoil my own daydream with this. I'd say, "Now come back to reality. You can't even afford a box of nails." You know what I'm talking about? But I wanted it to be true. And kids are like this, but we never grow out of this to some degree. We want it to be true so bad that we'll believe it. Even something deep inside says it's not true, but we still want to believe it. We want it to be. We want it so bad that we're going to make it happen if we can. And we don't face the hard reality that we should. I'm going to meddle some, but socialism's moving in on America. You know that. We got two or three or four. We got a Muslim in Congress. We got Bernie Sanders, we got the Spanish lady, the young lady that just got, she's all in the news all the time, and they're all selling this lie of socialism to bring America down, and we're coming down fast. But did you see, I went home last night and flipped on just a little bit of news, and did you see in Venezuela the garbage dump with all the paper money spread everywhere because it was worthless? You ever hear the statement, "Not worth the paper it was written on"? Well, that's exactly what inflation has done. I heard him interview a man. He said, "It's over 1,000,000 to 1 inflation." That means it's worthless. That means if you took a piece of paper and printed their biggest bill on it, it wouldn't be worth the paper it was written on. And folks, that's sad. There's going to be a lot of lives lost over there. They're in the streets and everything, and they've got a Marxist dictator who still has the army, will be killing people. And all I'm saying is they believed a lie. They wanted it to be true, and it's not true. And what didn't work there will not work in America either. But you know, we look even, accept sometimes bad things. I'm talking about even believers. We accept something that's bad and wrong. For instance, here's a dirty word, gossip. Gossip. You know what I'm saying by that? I'm saying sometimes we'll hear a dirty piece of gossip, and if it's somebody we like, we won't believe it. But if somebody we don't like, we will. Isn't that just like us? Yes, it is. You know what I'm saying is I'd like to hear something bad on him. I don't like him anyhow. So you throw it up, I'll say amen to it. But if somebody I like, maybe I'll defend them until I've at least got proof. It's very human, but very wrong. Why do we want to believe a lie? Because we wanted it to be so all the time. And that's what got into it and messed us up, even with something bad. I think about this week, they hate the president so bad, somebody threw up something and said he told his lawyer to lie. Every news station went on it. And they all repeated it. And then right at the end of the day, late that night, 7:30 at night, the truth came out. It was all a lie. You know why it went that way? Because they wanted it to be true. See? They wanted the lie. They wanted to accept it. So they did accept it. It was not true. And yet they were... And by the way, the fake news outfits are so gullible now that you could tell them anything. And if they thought it was against the president, they'd go with it. Do you know I'm telling you the truth? We've never seen such a hate thing going on and perverted as we're seeing it today, and our country is hurting from it. And the sad truth, though, is we all got those feelings ourselves. I'd rather have it true because I want to believe it. I want it to be true instead of checking out to see if it really is. And that sometimes is true at church, too. I've had folks, and I'm going to meddle with you a little bit. After 48 years, I got the right to meddle a little bit. I've had folks come to my church and go away and say, well, the singing was good and the program was pretty good, except the preacher said this. Now, let me play with you just a little bit on this. Let me tell you what that is like. That's going to church to find something wrong. That's going to church to pick something. That's going to church to hope you find what you're looking for. That's the equivalent as if I went to your house and you were serving a big meal. I mean, you really prepared for it. You got a corn on the cob, amen. I'll make you hungry here this time of morning. You got corn on the cob, you got baked bread, you got peas, and you got beans, and you got tomatoes, and you just got everything, and fried chicken, of course, and you just got all that, right? So I go to your home, big lunch. But I don't like spinach very much. And you got spinach on the table. So I just go in, instead of eating the corn and the peas and the bread and the chicken, I just eat spinach. Then I go away and say, you know, I went to so-and-so's house and it was awful. All I had to eat was spinach. You say, that'd be cheating. That's what you do when you come to church and pick out one thing that's wrong and throw everything else that's good away so you can go away and gripe and maybe write the preacher a letter back. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Just because I don't like spinach much, I would certainly not sit there and just eat that alone, right? Now, don't come to the door and tell me I like spinach. I know there's odd people in every congregation. But other than that, I'm telling you why we like to believe a lie. Because we want it to be true. And we're seeing that in the news everywhere that you look. I tell you another reason we want to believe it, because it flatters us, right? Somebody told me something good about myself. I know in my heart's not so, but I felt good about it, right? Oh, yeah. You know what? That's part of Eve's problem. She had pride in the garden. When Satan showed up, it was a little pride thing. He said, there's something you can't have over here. She said, oh, we can have all the trees over here. But she kind of twisted it around a little. She was proud. She didn't want to say, something I can't have. She didn't want to admit that. Boy, that pride is still around. You see it in history. I've told you this before, but some of the Roman emperors, days of Rome, time of the big kingdom of Rome, the staff around them, the support group around them, played their egos to the place they would say to the Caesars, they'd say, you know, you're really a god. You know, they'd crown them with those, you know, and they'd put on, and they kept on till they brainwashed them into thinking, some of them thinking, well, maybe I am a god. And then they kept on talking to them till they one day convinced at least one, I think, in history, you're such a god, you could fly right off the top of this building. And they kept on talking to him till the fool tried it. And he flew all the way to the ground, and the flight didn't hurt him, but the ending sure did. He didn't fly no more. You know what happened? He wanted to believe it. He wanted to believe it. It flattered him, made him think he knew better. You'd think he'd know better, but he did that, and he had a sudden stop at the bottom. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, listen, compliments can be good, but oftentimes they're fake. Oftentimes they're to build you up, and they will build you up, and you always want to watch, why is this guy buttering me up so? He may have a knife, it won't be a butter knife in his hand. You understand what I'm saying? And, I know it's not true, but I like to hear it. We often joke about that, don't we? Somebody said, don't believe your own press. Don't believe your own advertisements. You know why we will? It's because we're full of pride. Full of pride. Somebody joked, said a guy, said, see him, said, look how proud he is, said, I'd like to buy him for what he's really worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. You understand? We've met some folks like that. We have to fight the flesh to not be like that, to not fish for a compliment. I think about the young preacher. Got up and preached and went to the door. He was sort of proud of himself. It was obviously he was proud of himself. And the woman came at the door and said, preacher, did anybody ever tell you how great and how smart you are? And he said, well, no. She said, then why do you believe you are? God can cut you down pretty quick sometime like that. And oftentimes we want to hear it. And it flatters us. And it's something we want to be true. And that sort of, I remember when I was a kid going to an old black and white horror movie. There used to be a movie house right down there in front of the Christian bookstore. And I don't know, maybe I was 12 or something, I don't remember. But it was an old horror movie, kind of scary thing, and it was based on the, supposed to be the crazy monk, Rasmussen, I believe was his name, Russian monk. A lot of stories about him in history, in this story, he was after a pretty girl and wanting her to like him. But he was a trickster. He was a hypnotist. He was a bad guy. And finally, he did, as it were, catch the girl and take her away. And he wants her to love him. Of course, she is not. She would be scared of him. But he hypnotizes her, and then out of her lips, hears her say, "I love you." He plays that game a little while. Finally, and this, I remember this as a kid, finally, this character, this bad character, says, oh, why don't I quit kidding myself? That's just me talking to myself. And sometimes all the praise is just you talking to yourself. You got to watch out for that. That's what you want to hear. That's what'll flatter you. That's why you'll accept it. And we live in a world today that is full of that kind of junk. And we better be careful, especially as God's people. The Bible says that a man shouldn't think higher of himself than he ought. And the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And oh yeah, the fall can be pretty rough when we get too sold on ourselves. And so we believe the lie because we want to, because it flatters us. I think of a situation years ago, back when politics wasn't quite the dirty mess it is now, maybe. Harry Truman got elected. Of course, he actually got the office after Roosevelt was killed. But as he got in the office, there was an old senator already there that knew Harry through the years. They'd been friends. And I believe his name was Sam Rayburn. I'm not sure. But anyway, he said to Harry when he was being inaugurated, he said, "Now, Harry, you're president." He said, "You are going to hear folks tell you how great you are. You're going to hear folks tell you how smart you are. And how you're going to do a great job, and how you're just a wonderful guy." But he said, "Harry, you and I know you, so don't let it go to your head. We know none of it's true." That'd be good if we had somebody standing around saying, "Watch out. Watch out. Pride does go before destruction." That's a sad case. But why won't we believe a lie? And God hates a lie. That's what the text here says. And we believe the lie to cover our fear of failure. See, Eve at the tree in the garden was going through all these same emotions, all the same stuff still in the world today that we deal with. And she was dodging around with the devil because she didn't want to admit there was something she couldn't do or something she couldn't have. When we hear the lie how good we are, we better watch out. There's an old king in the Bible by the name of Ahab. You remember the story? He wanted to go down and take a city. He wanted another king, king of Israel, to join him, king of Judah to join him by the name of Hezekiah. And so he called the king in and said, "Let's go down here and take this city back. We can do it." And Hezekiah was smart enough to say, "We need to hear from the Lord on that." Remember? And Ahab brought in some false prophets and says, they said, "Go, go, you can take it." But Hezekiah said, "No, is there a prophet of the Lord here?" Not prophets of Baal, but prophets of the Lord. And he said, "Well, there's one by the name of Micaiah, but I don't like him because he prophesies bad against me." And you remember the story, Micaiah come in and told the truth and told the king was going to be defeated, which he was. But you see, here's the point I want you to get. The king wanted a yes man. He wanted somebody to come in and prop him up. He wanted somebody to come in and lie to him because he wanted to believe the lie. And that's where he lost his very life before it was over with. I want to say to a lot of people listening to me, are you lying about your relationship with God just because you want to hear it that way? You want to be that way? What is your relationship with God? I want to tell you, there's a lot of deception in the world, but the greatest deception ever will be is to deceive your own soul when it comes to having a relationship with God Almighty. How am I going to get right with God? You're not going to be able to earn it. Are you lying to yourself that you are? Are you saying to yourself, "I've been a good neighbor, I paid my bills, I've been a good daddy, I've been a good family man"? You know deep in that that's not enough. That's not enough. You may lie about it, but you know it's true when the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that includes you. I still run across it every now and then where folks get insulted because I'm upper class. I'm society high. How dare you tell me that I've got to get out of that altar like an old sinner and trust Jesus, trust him to save me? Yes, that's the only way you're going to make it. I shake hands at the door because I'm lazy and not fast enough. I can't get to all the doors. So I just generally park at one. It gives you a choice to come or not come. Amen. And you'd be surprised some of the comment I get sometime. Like, "I was a little bit insulted this morning. I got news for you. The ground is level. The ground is common. You have to get to heaven the same way that the sorriest rascal that you ever knew of has to get there. And that's through Jesus Christ and the price he paid for your sins. You say, I don't have any sin. That'll do good until you commit some, because that's a lie. That's a lie. And the wonderful truth is, if you'll quit lying to yourself and say, was there ever a time that I heard the gospel, how Jesus loved me and died for me and received him as a poor lost sinner? No hope outside of Jesus. A lot of folks lie to themselves about that. They really do. There's a story in the Bible. Jesus told it. It's the story of the publican and the Pharisee going down to the temple to pray. You remember the story? Remember the publican? He was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. He wasn't trying to pretend anything else. And he bowed down, and the Pharisee bowed down, and the Pharisee looked up to God and basically said, God, aren't you proud to get me? Well, you know the neighborhood I live in. You know the job I hold. Now, I'm paraphrasing that a little bit, but same message. Lord, I've tithed overall, and that was a good thing he did. I've done this, and I've done that, and he bragged himself up. He wanted to believe it. It flattered him. See what I'm talking about? But the publican bowed his head and smote his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, you may not like it. You may be certainly living a better moral life, a better decent life, a better neighbor, a more honest person, showing better character. You may be all that compared to the sinner in the gutter. But you got to come to God, the Father, by the Son, Jesus Christ, that died for your sins on the cross, and there's no other way. Quit lying to yourself, there's another way. Quit lying to yourself, there'll be another way for you, different from somebody else. No, it won't. No, it won't. We just announced here a while ago, and it was shocking news to us last night. Young man found dead in his sleep. Good man. Got a lot of reward to go to. I know him from a long time. And I'm glad I can give you that testimony about him. But you don't have the promise of tomorrow. No, you don't. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. How would it be right now? And I could ask the question, and you can ask it, why him instead of me? God's the one that does the calling. That's the decision he makes. How would it be with you? I hope you're not believing a lie because you want to, or believing it because it flatters you. The truth is, we all have to come as a sinner needing Christ to be saved by the grace of God. Have you received him? I pray that you will, even right now, you're in God's house. I pray that your pride wouldn't get in the way like Eve's did in the garden. I pray that you'd step out, not be thinking about what somebody else is going to see and think. You know, this is going to be a shock to some of you. And I pray you will get to heaven. If you don't make it to heaven, you go to hell, this is still going to be a shock. You're going to find out the devil lied to you when you were in church and heard the gospel. He lied to you that you'd be ashamed to walk down that aisle. He lied to you that somebody would speak ill of you. The truth is, everybody around you that ever accepted Christ is praying for you too. And the devil don't you know that truth. He wants to lie to you about it. The truth is that people that have been saved want to see other people saved. And while the devil says it would be embarrassing, no, it isn't. Wouldn't it be liberating? It would put a burden off you've carried for a long time. Man, I've been saved a long time, but I'd think back to the freedom, the joy, the peace, the victory I had when I stepped out and said, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Can you think on that? Has that happened to you? Young, old, or in between? You'll never get the victory till you come to Christ. You'll never go to heaven. He's the way, the only way. Don't believe the devil's lie.
Just because you want to, don't make it true. Just because it flatters you, don't make it true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Will you come to him this morning? He said, he promises, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll what? I'll in no wise cast out. Boy, that's good news. See, I'm the worst sinner in this building, worst sinner in this town. That qualifies you to come to Jesus. Would you do it? I pray you will. Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I'd like to thank everybody in this room is saved. I'd like to thank everybody listening on the radio right now saved. But Father, I'm not going to believe that. Just because I want to, Father, I'm not going to believe that. Because if they've never come to Christ, they're still lost. It don't matter what their bank account is. It don't matter what their name is. Don't matter where they live or how many churches they have been in. If they've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, they're still lost. I pray for them right now. Lord, as I, under your authority and under the command of your word, give an invitation. Invite men, women, boys, and girls to come to Christ. I pray you'd speak to their hearts here this morning. And I pray in this invitation, they would come and not one would believe the devil's lie and leave this building lost. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to step to the front. Will you meet me here and say, Preacher, I have put it off. I know I should have, but I haven't. But I'm coming this morning. You come. Come on as we sing.
Just as I